This is the Chapel of His Resurrection, Esu Teaching Hospital, Park Lane, Enugu. Our vision is to present every man holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And our theme for the year is Holiness unto the Lord. Our prayer is that as you listen, the Lord will bless you richly and empower you with the grace to be holy. Happy listening.
Father, we have come to you again to speak to us. Father, we know on our own we can do nothing. And that's why we are pleading with you to plant our feet on higher ground in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we surrender our lives unto you. And pray that, Lord, you help us to plant our feet where your own is. Because that's the only place of security in our lives, even in this end time. Lord, speak to us, and let your word permeate and penetrate into our three soul and body. That, Lord, as we live here, we shall never be the same again, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you because you're already here, and I know you will bless our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord. We are continuing where we stopped 3 weeks ago. You know, as I said, the 3 weeks ago message would have been last week, but somehow we swapped it because our brother Onoka traveled outside the country then. So I took his place. So we are continuing today. 2 weeks ago, we spoke on holy people for marriage. But today we are speaking on holy people in marriage. So today is basically on our married people. Not that as a young person that God will not speak to you. But I think 3 weeks ago we voiced more on the young people. But today is for us parents. Praise the Lord. Holy people in marriage. Where we read in our epistle, Hebrews chapter 13:4. It says that marriage is honorable in all. A marriage bed undefiled. Warmongers and adulterers, God will judge. So today, God really wants us to look into our marriage as it pertains to sexual life. God says that marriage bed will be undefiled. And warmongers and adulterers, God will judge. We said 3 weeks ago that holiness is hating what God hates and loving what He loves. And I want to say also that holiness is who you are when God's eyes is on you. It doesn't matter whether you are in the church or you are in your office or you are in the bush or you are in the marriage. Wherever you are, holiness is who you are. Why God is watching you. No wonder in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel went to Bethlehem to anoint another king because Saul sinned against God. And he went to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his children. And Jesse started bringing out the number of children he had, the boys. But later, Samuel asked them, "Is there no other child?" He said, "The little one in the bush." And he said, "Go and bring him." Without any other preparation, when David was brought, David was qualified because of holiness found in his life. There was no emergency preparation. He didn't even know the reason why he was called. They just sent for him, brought him very young and ruddy, according to the scriptures. And immediately he came in, Samuel, God said, "This is the right man, anoint him." That's holiness for you. Even in the bush, the young boy was still holy. So holiness is who you are, whether in your office, whether in the... God says, "For I am holy. I, the Lord, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. I have sanctified you to be holy, so that you will be able to do the work I want you to do." Praise the Lord. So let us look into our lives, into our homes. If God looks down from heaven and peeps into your home, what is he seeing? Is he seeing holiness that will attract his blessing? Many of us, we keep binding and losing, looking for terrestrial demons we shall pursue and the celestial one. I don't have time for those nonsense. Which one? Which demon? Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Bible says in Ephesians 2, yeah, verse 6, that we are seated in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ. So if I'm seated there, demon hour that is coming, where is he coming from? Many of us are blessed, in our marriages are not being blessed because of unholiness, you know, coming out. When you have made another woman your wife, instead of being your wife, with all manner of reasons, you will feel it everywhere. And you, the woman, another man is now better, with all manner of reasons, you will feel there. Why can't the devil fight you? Bible says that if you break the hedge, the serpent will bite you. It will bite your bite you. Eh? It will bite you. In Zechariah 2:5, Bible says, I will put a wall of fire around you. Wall of fire. Your marriage will be walled by the fire. So that when the devil will come from one place, you know, he will now pursue them. So I don't know what is happening with you now. I don't know the reasons you have been given. To exonerate yourself from the pointing finger of the Holy Spirit that is telling you, my dear child, you are not living it. You are living below my standard. There is a standard. Ephesians 4:1, Bible says, live a life that measures to the standard God set when he called you. There is a standard for marriage, my dear. Marriage bed undefiled, that's the standard. Because the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows those that are living in holiness. He knows. He knows. He knows. The blessings we are pursuing up and down, we don't need to pursue them. Live holy. Meet the standard of God. Meet the program of God, why he has called you. Reach out to souls that are, dying in sin. Bring up children. We are talking today. We haven't seen anything. We are saying our children, where can they grow when mother and father on holiness, you know, it has torn you apart? How can these children grow? These children, they came from homes. Because if the root is holy, so are the branches. If from our homes these children are trained and brought up in the fear and nurture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they will come into church, they will be quivers in God's hands. They will go into the society, and all this madness we see in the society will stop. But if from home we are emitting evil, unrighteousness, unsavory aroma, aroma unto God, and every day God will be crying, my children called by name, I thought they will live safe. How can our society be better? We are praying for revival. That revival, God wants us to start from our relationship. If our relationship is what it ought to be, God will begin to emit righteousness into our children. We don't need to run around all the things we need. Our needs will be met. You don't need to think about them. Yes, because my Bible is there. Bible in Matthew 6:32, he said that the pagans, they run after their needs. But our Heavenly Father, he knows that we need them. In 33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. God can never break his word. The word of God is A and Amen. Do what God wants you to do. Live holy in your relationship. Don't begin to, petty around. In our pity, in our torch, in a move, every day, and a jiggy. How long shall you live in sin? Paul shouted and said, must we dwell in sin that grace shall abound? Must you continue in sin? Are you not tired of this sin? Are you not? All this, my wife doesn't satisfy me. It's a mindset, my dear. If you tell yourself that your wife will, will satisfy you, he will. If you tell yourself that your husband will satisfy you, he will. But the issue is that the devil has put a mindset that is not a covetousness. The more you get, the more you want to get. I could remember when I was working at Onka to show you the level where women we have gone to. One woman was just talking, that is good though, to have men around, at least so that you'll be changing now. I turned around, I said, what do you say now? He said, these SU people, Ruby, I don't want. Don't you cook egusi soup? Don't you cook ede soup? Don't you cook ogbono soup? Why do you cook them? You cook them for a change. That it is good at times you change. So I don't know which one you have received from pit of hell. And you think it has become the order of things. That's not the standard of God. The standard of God can never be changed. Whether you are married or unmarried, it can never. Let us tell ourselves the truth. Let us stop deceiving ourselves. Let us go back to where we have fallen. My brethren, we have fallen. Let us go back. Hosea said, bring what with you. Bring what with you, come to me. If only we can go back to God, He will heal us. We have famine for the word of God now. Nobody wants to hear the undiluted word. He just says, you come to people, tell everybody, it is well with all of you, say amen. And people will say amen and they will come and give you offering. Offering will be everywhere. Tell somebody that even if you sin, your offering can cover multitude of sin. Can somebody say hallelujah? And they say hallelujah, somebody, they will shake you. But who is shaking? It's sin that is shaking you. It's sin. Who is deceiving who? That if you commit sin, your sacrifice will cover multitude of sin. And people will gather themselves, the devil that deceived them. Bible says they are deceived because they hate to love the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you read 8 to 10, it says they are deceived because they hate to love the truth, my dear. If you love the truth, you will not be deceived. Praise the Lord. What must we do? Now we have seen the rake the devil has done in our home. What must we do? There's always a remedy with God. There's always a remedy. That's why I love Him. Even when He beat us, He will still bring us back. He can beat you with the right one and still bring you back. Because Ephesians 2:4 says, God who is rich in mercy. He is rich in mercy. If only we can apply our hearts unto wisdom and come back to Him today, He is still ready to pardon and forgive us all this foolishness. And we can see the rain of power, rain of anointing that God will bring upon our hands. Rain of sanctification, holy living, set apart. That God will not depend on us. And you can see God opening everywhere. And that's when we can easily sing a song that says, I can see everything turning around. Everything turning around. See everything turning around for my good. Not when you are living in sin. No, you can't see anything, my dear. If you live in sin, you won't see in anything. Turn around for your good. But when you live in righteous place, only in your home, you see God turning around situations. Even when people will think that there's no hope for you, He will spring up hope for you where there seems to be no hope. Praise the Lord. What must we do? Because when Peter finished speaking, Bible says that the word of God struck them and they said, brethren, what can we do? What must we do to be holy in our relationship? What must we do to keep holy, to keep sanctified, no matter the pressures? I know there are pressures, but in the midst of those pressures, God is faithful, and He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above whatever we can think or can imagine. That's our God for us. Praise the Lord. Number one, as I'm winding up, is that we must be born again. Many of us are not born again. We come to church. We stay in the church. We go back. In short, every day I come to this church. One day I was telling our mommy, you know, Aniebu, I said, am I really born again? That each day I come to this church, every Sunday, I repent again. Every Wednesday, I repent again. She laughed and said, mommy, please, you are born again. Because at times the message will come. I will be wondering, am I really born again? Because the message will penetrate and pierce me so much that I will say, God, please, I repent again. Forgive, oh, I want to see you. But many of us will be coming to this church every Sunday. The message will be moving. I wonder where it goes. Eh? I wonder where it goes. Our brother Chus was preaching last year. He made a statement that touched me. He said that this generation, we have developed resistance for the word of God. As the word of God is coming, you resist it. You put a message proof. You know, it's for them. You just pick the ones you feel that, you know, that will make you feel good. You know, you just pick them and begin to always magnify it, quote it, quote it, quote it, quote it. The word of God is always holistic. It's whole. When you take it whole, it will deliver you. Are you born again? You have come to this church, you don't have anybody to blame, oh, because the word of God comes out in this church undiluted. You don't have anybody to blame. Are you born again? Do you come to this church every day you come here? The priest will say, if you want to give your life to Christ, come as you just sit tight. Even when the word of God is pushing you. We had in the outreach, we had a week yesterday. How a young lady, the word of God was coming, and you know the message was coming to her, really. Her boyfriend said, let's go. Immediately the boyfriend took her out. As they were crossing the road, the vehicle crushed her. And that's her end. Are you born again, my dear? If rapture takes place now, where are you heading to? Who is deceiving who? Who is that devil that has deceived you? Every day you come to church, you stay in the church, you go back in the church, the same. Very soon now, we'll go to the altar to go and take a Holy Communion. That's why many of us die. Because when you take Holy Communion in unholiness, you die. You die instead of living. Are you born again, my dear? Have you received Jesus? Have you really encountered him? You know, we have three kinds of Christians. Natural people, they come to church and they go. We have carnal Christians. They come, they are born again, they have received Jesus. But the point is that they have refused to surrender their lives totally for the Holy Spirit to take over. Then we have the first is Spirit-filled, you know, Christians. These are people that have surrendered all to Jesus. I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and serve him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to him, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I don't know where you belong. Are you still a natural Christian? Every day you come to church, sit and warm chair and go. And you'll be going and laughing. Don't mind them, I've gone to church. Now will anybody say I didn't go to church? I've come down. Or do you belong to the carnal ones? You are born again. But you don't want to fully surrender. You don't want to fully allow the Holy Spirit to take full. Which one do you belong? Are you born again? We must continue to say it. John 3:3, Jesus said very, very essential, you must be born again. That that is born of the flesh is flesh. And that is born of the spirit is spirit. Last week, we heard that once you are doing things, you know, we heard that in the flesh, we can never please God. Those that are living in the flesh, you can never please God. Maybe you are still at the level of, you know, flesh. My dear, you cannot see God. And if you are doing things in the flesh, the devil is not even bothered. We had this last week. You continue to do. You can speak now. And if you're still speaking, you can do everything. You can give Holy Communion. You can do anything. The flesh is not bothered. So far, you know, Satan is not bothered. So far, you do it in the flesh. Are you still living in the flesh, my dear? If you are living at the level of flesh, there's no way you will not be in marriage and still be living unholy. There is no way. Because the flesh is still taking the upper hand. The flesh will still be dictating all your actions. What are you still waiting for? Are you born again? If you have not come to Jesus for that cleansing power, this is time for you. There is a power to live above sin. John 1:12 says, to them that believe, he gives them power to become children of God. And when you receive Jesus, then seek to be empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's only at that baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you are empowered from above, you can live above sin. It's only the power of the Holy Spirit in your life that can help you to live above sin. Many of us are satisfied at the salvation level, no? You must move to sanctification. You must move to be empowered. So that at that level, you live above powers, principalities and powers. They will be subject to you. Are you born again? As we are continuing, examine your life. Are you in the faith? Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in your life? Of course you have failed. Look into your life. Are you born again? If you are not born again, there is no way the message of today will benefit you, my dear. It is not possible. It is impossible and cannot. It may not be good English. I don't care. I say it is impossible. It is impossible. You cannot live holy when you have not received Jesus. There is a power to live it. Number two that will help us to live holy, because I'm rushing now, yeah, my time is up, is that we must study the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. When the Word of God is in your life, sanctification, holiness, husband and wife always, you know, you pray together, you know, you read the Word of God together, you study together, you see that, God will be sanctifying you, pointing out things in your life that is not right. And as you are doing it, the children will be watching you. You know, the holy aroma will be rising unto heaven. And you do family altar, you teach, the Word of God that is stored up in you. Word of God, you can never do anything without it, even if you are born again. Without the Word of God, you know, Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of God be richly indwell you. Because it's the level of the Word of God in you that is the level of God, you know. You know, Isaiah 59 verse 19b says, when the enemy will rush like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. It is the level of the Word of God in you, that when there is a temptation, especially in this sexual aspect, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. He will bring up those words that will tell you, flee. He said, flee fornication, flee adultery. He will not bring it to your memory and say that a man that committed adultery, that the devil can reduce you to a loaf of bread if you go to Proverbs. You see it. That the sin of fornication and adultery reduces a man to a loaf of bread. Do you take time to study the Word of God? There is no way you can live holy without the Word of God. Because the Word of God that sanctifies you. It's water, it washes you away. That is, how can a young man live pure? How can a young man, a young woman, a married woman, a married man live holy? So by hiding the Word of God in your heart, that you will not sin against God. Praise the Lord. And when this word is in you, you pray. My dear, marriage, to live holy is a war. To live holy, you have to pray and pray the Word of God inside you. So that any Word of God that is in you, you know, you use the Word of God to hammer it and rammer it very well, so that it will go in very well and become so solidified. Prayer. Our weapon of war is not carnal, but mighty through God. The devil doesn't want you to live holy, but you must try under God, you know, to always stay close. Another one I want to say, for you as married people, for your bed not to be defiled, another one is set boundaries to the things you do. Set boundaries. If you go to Exodus 19:12, when the Israelites Moses told them, you know, God told Moses, bring them to the mountain. As they were coming, God gave them instruction and said, set boundaries, let them not do this, because if they do, I will strike them, they will die. Set boundaries as, you know, husband and wife. If you must keep away from what we are saying, if we must keep away from, you know, your marriage bed being defiled, set boundaries. There are most of us married people, we live careless. We think it doesn't matter. You know, as a married man, as a married woman, you know that the devil is targeting that marriage to pull it apart. What do? There are things you don't move into. For example, if you have ministered to a woman in your course of administration, and that woman gives her life to Christ, and maybe there are challenges or whatever she's facing, whether married or unmarried, I don't care, sexual sin is very strong. What do? Whenever you are going to visit, either you hand her over to your wife, or if you feel your wife is not capable, anytime you are going to counsel her or visit her or whatever, go with your wife. I love seeing men that go around with our daddy and our mommy, they do it very well in our chicken. Anywhere you see him in this session, mommy will be there. You may not know what they are doing. You may not. They are setting boundaries so that whatever the enemy may plan to get at the man, while the wife is there, God will thwart the plans of the devil. Praise the Lord. Set boundaries. Don't just say, maybe, hey, I ministered, I must go and follow up. It is good. In the evening, 6, 7, if I can hear you. By the time you come in, you know, you may not have planned it. I'm telling you, with all sincerity, you are going to do the work of God. You come in, by the time you are coming in, you don't know the challenges or the problems. The woman may be coming, and maybe she will start crying. Trust us, we can't cry. You know, by the time she will start crying, you know, to show love and compassion, you draw nearer. Oh, no, take it easy. Take it easy. Before you know it, before you talk Jack Robinson, you have already ended it. But if you go with your wife, the devil, you create an unsavory, in a situation, the devil will not rise. If he rises, he will fall. Praise the Lord. Set boundaries. Don't just feel, I speak in tongues, Holy Ghost speed. This devil is older than you. It's only in the power of the Holy Spirit you can break through. Don't do things anyhow. I could remember in a teacher, he taught in my school. He married a brother in our fellowship, very vibrant, even now, very sincere. He married along the line, the friend traveled abroad and said, please, look after my wife and child, you know. But the long and short of it is that he impregnated the woman before the husband came back. And I want to tell you, if I enter his heart and want to be sincere with him, he didn't plan to do that. That's it, because he didn't set boundaries. He didn't plan to do that. He's just the devil. Maybe the woman, he came in, and the woman was feeling so bad, you know, rolling their eyes, you know. Some women, they will roll it up and down. Bible says, flee. Flee now, flee, my dear. Don't stay there. Don't speak in tongues. Flee. Close the door and run away. That's what Joseph did. He fled. The woman is pregnant. By the time the friend came back and said, you know, it's a woeful story, but it's painful. The man came back and said, I won't marry again. He's marrying two of them. Unplanned program. Unplanned program. Because we don't want to set by, but we think that we can do it in a, and I can handle it. No, you cannot handle it. Likewise, women. If you have spoken the word to somebody and along the line the person, you know, gave his life to Christ, thank God. Tell your husband about it. Tell him. Please, follow this person up. Or two of you will be going together. Because you don't know the plans of the devil. Praise the Lord. I want to be the, you know. Another thing is that to help ourselves in marriage, let us be open. Many of us are so secretive. You are in marriage. You are in marriage. Bible says two of them are naked and they felt not ashamed. Why are you, you know, hiding certain things from your wife? If you say where you are feeling, be open now. Who knows? It's the wife that should know. Even if you are sinning, it's the wife that should know and pray for you. Be open to him or to her. If there's a way you have started feeling, express it to her. Say, if you say so in sincerity, the woman will begin to pray and say, what is it? What is it? But when you will be had, or maybe, you know, this generation, some of these girls on the street, they are very strange. Some of them will begin to follow a man. They know he has married, they will be pestering you. Why not open up to your wife? Your wife may not be in your office or wherever. Why not open up and tell her, please do help me and pray. I am not getting her out of anywhere. The wife will take it off and she will know that there's a battle. She will battle it under God. But many of you will hide it. You hide the text messages. The worst thing is that when I see husband and wife hiding their phones from their wives, what are you hiding? What are you hiding, my dear? Is it a digital lottery? Why shouldn't your wife be free to scroll? I know some people that will be annoyed. I say, why should she? Why must she even open it? I say, Chineke. And if the husband or the wife answers her call, say, do you know who is calling? Why must you? I say, me, I get annoyed. My phone will be ringing and my husband will give it, you know, to children. I say, answer it now. His phone, I will answer. If you are traveling with him, sorry, you will answer all the phones on that, you know, all the calls. His text messages, I go through them. What are you hiding? Be open now. Because if people are open and she goes through their, you know, your phones, and you go through her own, you'll be able to say, who is this? And from there, you start discussing. There are many of you, and so, the devil will just rake you up. Praise the Lord. The next one is, don't deprive one another. Don't deprive one another. Many of us, we have manipulated, you know, a spiritual way of being wicked to each other. Don't deprive each other. Bible says that your body does not belong to you. It doesn't belong to you, my dear. It's not your own. Your body belongs to God and to your husband and to your wife. So anytime your husband needs you, because sister, give in to it. You know, Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says don't deprive one another so that, you know, Satan will not get at you. Do it often so that the enemy will not get you. Why are you hiding? Don't tell me these children are here. They know more than you do. They know more than you do. So let us say, what are you depriving yourself? Why are you hiding yourself? It's only here we shall do it, not in heaven. Why are you depriving each other? I have a brother in a relation then. One day, he came to me complaining the wife, that now his greatest problem is that the wife is always, demanding sex. Chineke, I said, what do you mean? If the wife is demanding sex, give it to her now. What do you mean? He said, I'm tired. I'm a banker. I'm tired. He said, every time I say, my dear, excuse me, don't expose her to danger. If you are doing that thing and she gets outside, you are gone. And remember, your wife is a pretty woman. So you better calm her down in the home. So you, man, I don't know which one you are doing. Every night you are tired. You know? And I want also to tell the men that if you want to get the best out of the women, do them, love them. Love them, pet them, care for them, speak tenderly to them. Many of you in the morning, you will keep the whole home in fire. And you step up such an environment that will be so tense. The children, the wife will be hiding. And you will tumble out of work. And by the time you come back, to meet electric kettle, you will plug on and she will start, jumping up and down. No. Women are not electric kettles. It's only electric kettles they put on and everything will start gyrating. You have to prepare a grand. Love them. Show them tenderness. Show them love. We don't need so much. Women, what we need is tender loving care. Just love us. Speak tenderly. Speak sweet words to us. We don't need too much. We don't need to, too much. But whether they speak tenderly to us or not is immaterial. You must give in to them. Yes, because if you do, they will go outside. There are this couple, I love the man. I don't know him personally, but I love his action. They married as unbelievers, but along the line, he repented with the wife. And he started getting at the wife more often. The wife one day called him and said, now what is happening? Did you receive the spirit of God and also receive another spirit? And the man was very sincere. I love such men. He said, my dear, when I was an unbeliever, if you refuse my touch, I go outside. The wife was shocked. He said, He said, yes, I go outside. But now, because I have received Jesus, I cannot do them again. I don't know which one you are doing. My fellow sisters, is it every time stories will fill your mouth? Whether they give you love or not. The issue is that before God, you answered, I will. The only thing you do, hand them over to God. God knows how to handle men. God knows how to handle them. And by the time he starts his handling, you will see, they will see Yahweh. Do your own. Do your own. Don't just sit for that. Every day, you are sick. Today, headache. The other day, waist pain. The next day, one thing or the other. And many of us, we have turned the Bible upside down because Bible says, unless if you are fasting, do it often, unless when you are fasting. And many of us, we have taken to fasting every minute of the day. Yes, every minute of the day you are fasting. Why? So that your husband will not touch you. It's a lie, my dear. Have you fully understood from people that matter in the scriptures that even if you are fasting and your husband needs you, you must give in. At least when I went to Bile's program, he said it and I was shocked because my husband was saying it. I said, you want to be getting at me all day. Until I went to a program, Bro Wille said it. I said, Chineke, so this thing is true. Because I misinterpreted the scriptures. And every time I will be fasting and praying so that I will escape. And my husband will say, Nne, you are deceiving yourself. Why I'm saying I don't believe he had it, I'm speaking to myself. It's what God says I should say, I'm saying. You know? He said, Nne, you are deceiving yourself. I said, you want me to go to hell? Is it your plan? I won't go, go to hell. Fasting, Bible says often, I will be fasting. But I don't have any prayer point, so it's just to deprive him. I don't know which one you are doing. We know ourselves. We know ourselves. Holy people in marriage. Until I went to work, Bule said it. I said, no, if Bule says it, it's true. And my sister, she said, Ego Wanko. One day, I don't know how God just touched her. You know, I respect her because she's a woman of God. She said, they are Ruby. You know you are type, you people that held yourself so tight on the marriage. I hope you don't deprive my brother. I turned, I looked at her, I felt so bad. I say, sister Ego, even you, so you have also backsliding. He said, it's not backsliding. And you know, she lived a close family life. In fact, if you know the husband and this man, they lived close. They lived close. You know? So I don't know which one you are being, my sisters. No matter whatever they do, at times some of them, they can deal with you. They can handle you in such a way that you vow you will never touch me. No, that's not the scripture, my dear. Because you are pushing them away. By the time he goes out and gets HIV and so many things, you are the one that will benefit from it. But I pray that God will deliver us in